The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every which way you could take us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland, producer number 9. So much more than a producer in the house as well. What's happening?
Not much. Nothing much. Just having a little microphone issues here this morning. It's okay. Yeah. I'm good. Me and you are good. The crew can't hear me, though. It's okay. We're going to have to work on our hand signals
today. Nice haircut. You know? See, you got a haircut.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done. Looking.
There was questions about that on Twitter. I don't lie about my hair.
You're looking fly.
Oh, thanks, man.
Hey, you're welcome.
Pretty fly for a white guy?
It's a sweet 1980s compliment. You're looking fly. On the show today, man, I'm pumped. Football, baby. We're going to talk about, ready for this? First coach fired. I likes. We're going to do that coming up on the show. We'll review all of the bets that we have made, Kelly and I have made for the season, season-long bets that we have. Paul Carr will join us to talk the first weekend of Premier League football. Paul Carr, who, of all of our guests, the sneakiest fine record through the years. We'll go over that as well. He's you know what it is? 4 yards every carry, every year. It moves the chains.
Completely.
I love it.
We have records to review with him?
We'll review some Paul Carr records.
I'm actually pumped for that, and that doesn't surprise me at all. He's steady.
Not flashy.
We also ask a lot out of him. You know what I mean? So, like, it's a lot of soccer plays in a year.
It's a three-pack every week.
Yeah.
Jordan Sherwood, UFC 305. You pumped for UFC 305? You going to bet this?
Yeah, probably.
Dricus Duplessis?
I mean, Gil, we've talked about this before. Friday morning, I have zero plans, but by the time Saturday night rolls around, I'm probably all in. Yeah.
Chris Felica, the Bear, going to talk his Premier League thoughts as well. They both went to the U, Chris Felica and Paul Carr. They both went to the U, and they're going to counter each other with picks probably.
Okay, so yeah, I'm glad you just brought that up, because the one thing I can't stop thinking about, UFC 305, we're not doing 305 down in Miami? Like, what? Come on.
We're doing it in Australia. Is where we're doing it.
Yeah, that's so fun.
And then Jason Weingart from Under Cloud of Smoke. Jason has actually done some prep for the segment today from Under That Cloud of Smoke. He has a blind player A, player B comparison because he just wants to drive home his NL Rookie of the Year thoughts for everybody. That and more coming up on the show as well. I want to start with, as we do, while the tennis tours are stateside, yesterday, another winning day with a big dog hitting on Yulia Putintseva as a +275 dog against Coco Gauff. I will just say this again. Hard courts for the year, Kelly. Goodness gracious. 45 units to the positive. Over 45 units to the positive. Clay relentlessly. Remember, Clay was that relentless, like, just bad luck losses over and over. And then grass was just terrible. So we're not up 45 units for the season. We're up for the season, but we're not nearly up 45 units. But hard courts just continue to be awesome. Called this yesterday. Coco Gauff, and we're going to talk tennis later on the show because the U.S. Open is coming up. But I'm just saying these ladies at the top of the ladies tour, including Iga Swiatek now, but also Elena Rybakina, Arina Sabalenka, and now Coco Gauff, there is mental fragility in every case. So they all have the tools physically, but boy, oh boy, they have some meltdowns in these matches. Iga herself in the Olympics was up 4-love in the second set against Zhang Xinwen and gacked it. And yesterday, Coco Gauff, after losing the first set to our girl Putintseva, she took control of the match. She won the second set. She was up a break in the third. She was up 4-2 in the third. And then someone else inhabited her body. It was incredible. But it was nice to be on the right side of one of those for once. And so we got it done there. Today, and by the way, so we were 2-1 yesterday.
How concerned are you about Coco going for it? I mean, I know we talked about this a couple times.
I mean, I'm not concerned because I don't want bets. Right. But as far as, like, if I was her coach or if I was her family, I'd be a little concerned.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be a little
I thought Zach's comments yesterday were interesting on that because I think that's as bettors we have to think that way, where if you're recognizing there's something up, but how big of a dip in price is then it worth coming back to buy back in on? We'll see if his opinion changes on that over the next week. But
the thing about this is that every one of these ladies is getting priced as massive favorites in these matches. And if you know the data, which is how I do all mine, what was my comment yesterday? Should Coco be favored? Yes. Should she be nearly this big? Not a chance. You got to take the +275. So we were 2-1 yesterday because the matches stopped because of rain in Cincinnati yesterday. So the Casper Ruud match from yesterday still goes on this morning. So we have Casper Ruud over Felix Auger-Aliassime, extended from yesterday. I got the worst of that number. I have him as a slight dog. He's much bigger of a dog right now by about 20 cents, which is rare that we're on the that bad of the side of the CLV. We'll see how that goes. I'm on Ruud. And then the only other play I added is a big dog on the lady side. I am on Elina. I want to pronounce this correctly. Ready for this, Kelly? Elina Avanesyan. She is Armenian. Elina Avanesyan. She just, in fact, I think, officially decided to play under the Armenian flag, if you will. So she is over Ludmila Samsonova today. That is the play. Elina Avanesyan over Ludmila Samsonova. Plus 203 is where I got it. VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every play, and every sport at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. That is the only one I added today. Elina Avanesyan over Ludmila Samsonova. She's only about 5 cents worse than that now. You can absolutely play it.
Like it.
Like
Let's
it.
Go Avanesyan.
Yeah, we'll see. So it's been a great week in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, Paris, Rome, Monaco, London, Shanghai, suburban Cincinnati.
J-Rod tweeting in, he's got a doubles match suspended from yesterday. He wants me to pronounce for it between Harry Heliovera and Henry Patton versus Nikola Mektic and Wesley Kulhoff.
I have no idea what just came out of your mouth. Yeah.
Tennis players.
Good luck to J-Rod on that play. okay, by the way, we always do this with the baseball, too, because we had Aaron Judge's 300th home run earlier, because I'm a bit of a baseball nerd. But I just wanted to point out, yesterday we had a cycle in the Phillies game. You see that?
Yeah. The Rook?
The Rook gets the cycle. Weston Wilson becomes the first Phillies rookie ever to hit for the cycle. He did it in the team's 13-3 win over the Nationals. He had a triple to lead off the fourth. The Phillies batted around that inning. He got a single later in that inning. And then he had a homer in the seventh and a double in the eighth. And if you just go historically, like how rare is the cycle? One in every 687 games played, you will see a cycle. That is more rare than a three home run game. But you know what it's not as rare as? No hitters, one in every 739.
Really?
I was surprised by that. I would think it was more rare than a no-hitter. Immaculate inning, one in every 2,068 games. I get rarer and rarer here. Perfect game, one in every 9,822. And the four-home run game, one in every 13,096 games. Unassisted triple play, even more rare, one in every 15,700. And a perfect game lost on a 27th batter, more rare than the perfect game, won in 18,134 games. How about that?
Wow. What was the cycle number again?
Oh, I was surprised by this. One in 687 games. That seems low, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Those are also, I'm guessing vast historical numbers, right? Like, there's definitely been way more no-hitters in the past 6 years than there has been cycles.
The game changes. By the way, this list that I'm looking at gets into like really like rare occurrences that you wouldn't even think about. The rarest of the rare of the rare. Two grand slams in one inning happens one in every 235,736.
How many times does it happen? Period.
Once in the history of baseball.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. So you can go through all that. But anyway, cycle, good for Weston Wilson. Giants avoid the sweep against the Braves. They needed that to stay within contact. We're trying to get the Braves out of the playoffs based on our bet here on the show and one I have off air. The other thing, we got a tweet this morning, back to football now, as we crescendo to our great game. Got a tweet this morning from somebody. I want to give credit to who asked this. But he was like, okay, the Falcons got Justin Simmons now on the heels of trading for Matthew Judon.
Were we all aware of this, by the way? I think I texted you this yesterday. Was I supposed to know Justin Simmons was still a free agent?
Yeah, he was
okay.
Out there. Yeah,
he's been talking with teams?
And they were rumored to be interested.
Okay.
Eric Pinnell, thoughts on Falcons number one seed, plus 950 at FanDuel. I don't hate it at all. I don't think they're the best team in the NFC, but they have that NFC South schedule where you're playing the Panthers twice, the Bucks twice, and the Saints twice to start. And then it's just, you know, it's just an easier schedule, generally speaking, if you go through the if you go through the Falcons schedule. And Kirk Cousins, again, I was the one who was railing against these hack doctors. I was on with Will Hill on his podcast, Should Have Bet More, and we were talking about this. I was the one railing against these hack doctors who were saying, you know, like Aaron Rodgers could come back and play last year because it drove me crazy. But Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers now with an offseason, they'll absolutely be fine start this season. So I just think the Falcons, I don't hate that. Number one seed plus 950.
Yeah, we're going to talk through our all of our futures here next segment, but that's it's where we talked about a little bit about it with Aaron Schatz. I understand there's still some defensive concerns even after you add these two guys. There's still going to be some defensive concerns, but man, that division is just so weak to me. I like the Falcons in there, and then we're talking overall when you're talking about one seed. We're still talking about this is the lighter conference still. And if you wanted any more futures that you want to go beyond that, I can't really argue with that because I don't know how many really elite teams there are in the NFC.
Yeah, and remember, when you're talking about like thinking about a Falcons season win total over, the advice is wait till after week three because it's Pittsburgh, then it's at Philly and Kansas City. But then after that, it is just a cavalcade of wins that they should get under their belt. Home games against New Orleans and Tampa, at Carolina, home Seattle, at Tampa, home Dallas. So they get the tougher teams at home and the easier teams on the road. So they should really rack up some wins. But Justin Simmons, two Pro Bowls, 30 career interceptions. Add him to that defense, and all of a sudden, remember Aaron Schatz said they got the worst defense in the NFL. Not anymore, they don't.
Yeah, he might be getting up there in age a little bit, but I...
What is he? I mean, he's still 30,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
30 years old, I believe. So, good deal for the Falcons, picking up Justin Simmons on the heels of trading for Matthew Judon. 30 years on the button is Justin Simmons with 30 career interceptions. We'll come back. All of our future NFL plays are season longs that Kelly and I have both made. We'll list them in case you've missed any. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back on a numbers game. Un partido de números. For those listening in Spanish, it's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. I don't want to read a bunch of tweets, but I just want to read these couple. Eddie Vegan Runner says, please, 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 30 for 30 on the eggnog challenge and Matt Brown's field goal kick.
Those would be
yeah.
The field goal kick?
The field goal kick. We would have to produce it in a way that captured the delay that Matt Brown all put us through.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as Steve the Proxy says, words of wisdom, the quote spit out about the Mets may be a play on words, being that the Hawk Tua girl threw out the first pitch in Citi Field yesterday. I'm glad you mentioned that. My God, what is happening? So this was before this happened, or I didn't even know that happened, or maybe this is how it came up in the first place. But so this girl, right, viral, it was funny for what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, it was a good, solid laugh for a few days.
It was a chuckle. It was a chuckle.
It was an internet chuckle.
It was a guffaw, what it was.
An internet funny.
It didn't even rise to the level of a brouhaha. I don't know. But anyway, the point is, I watch Bill Maher real time every Friday night on HBO, on Max, excuse me. And I like the show because he's kind of balanced now with how he does things. He had her on his podcast. It was the creepiest thing ever. It's like a 68-year-old dude having this girl on. And the only possible reason he could have her on the podcast is because he thought maybe there's a chance. That's it. It was just creepy as all.
And you and I were texting about this yesterday. I was not aware of that.
It just
feels really weird for Barr that it just feels like a desperate guest attempt. Like, I don't know. Like, he's got more things. He's got better things to do.
It's like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He tried to get her to do a podcast on his network. During the pot, I'm like, okay, I got to stop watching. It's the whole thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if there's an artful transition to this, but Premier League season begins today. two things that are not related. Paul Carr joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. He is the host of the Expected Value podcast. He works at True Media Networks. And one correction, he did not go to the U. He went to Wheaton College, but he spent much of his life in Miami because his dad went to the U. Paul Carr, everybody. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm well. Gil, I have no idea who this girl is, but I saw her throwing out the first pitch yesterday and I refused to look it up. I think it happened during Euros, so it was just, you know, I don't know what's going on, but
don't waste your time.
I'm not going to find out.
Don't waste your time. It's not worth your
time. Blissfully ignorant. Yeah.
All right, before we get into your plays here, because with the Premier League season, which finished a minute ago, is beginning again, the United States has themselves, the United States national team, has themselves a new coach by the name of Mauricio Pochettino. What can you tell us about him?
This is a home run hire. I will say it's not official yet, but it's been reported. They're just finagling over some details, it appears. But it's a home run hire. He is or was one of the top 10 managers or so in the world. He's coached in the best leagues, the best competitions at, you know, Southampton, Tottenham, PSG, Chelsea. He has a history of making clubs better, like getting Southampton into the top half, getting Tottenham into the Champions League consistently, those kinds of things. So realistically, they couldn't have hired much better. You know, to use a poker analogy, the U.S. is getting its money in with the best hand. Doesn't mean you're win. You're going to win. They're not going to win the World Cup probably in 2026. Does it mean they'll make it a round further than they hoped? Maybe. But they put themselves in the best position to do it by hiring one of the best available managers.
All right. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Whether it results in a deeper, you know, drive into an international tournament, we shall see. We shall see. That will be ultimately how he will be judged. All right. Premier League season last year. If my memory serves, scoring was up a tick. Maybe more than a tick. Maybe I'm underplaying it. Was that a thing? Was that random? Should that continue?
Yeah, it was more than a tick. It was about half a goal per game, which is a lot when in soccer. So it was up from about 2.85 to about 3.25 or so. And there's some things that are the same and some that may not be. Like, there were a few more penalties last year. Also a higher conversion rate on the whole, like 90%, when historically it's about 78%. So not quite sure that is sustainable. There was more added time because of the way they were calculating it. Not sure if that's going to happen again or not. Signs point to no, but we're not really sure. So those two things, maybe not sustainable, but shot quality has been up and rising in the Premier League and almost every league for the past 10, 15 years. So that's a stylistic thing, and it comes from a lot of pressing and creating, you know, essentially good fast break opportunities. I think that part will be the same. So if I had to take a wild guess, I would guess scoring will be down a little bit from last year, but up from where it's been, you know, historically over the last decade or so.
All right. So if we see some more Paul Carr overs, let's not be surprised.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I think there's maybe one game where 2.5 is kind of the standard over under for this game, for this week. I mean, the books, you know, they're not dumb, breaking news. They've caught on a lot, so it's hard to get anything close to even money on over 2.5 anymore when, you know, regularly there were a handful of games like that every week before.
If you missed Paul's appearance earlier in the week, he had a bunch of futures plays for us. Arsenal to win the title, plus 175. We won't go through the explanations again, but just to list them. Newcastle to finish in the top four, plus 230. Brentford to finish in the top half of the table at 4-1. Southampton to be relegated. They're up. I'll go back down, is what Paul is saying, plus 110. And then Alexander Isak to win the Golden Boot at 16-1. So those were his plays earlier in the week. Now it's game by game. And Paul, I was mentioning this at the beginning of the show. You are a very quiet, steady, move the chains Premier League handicapper. What has your record been on this show through the years?
I mean, it's a grind, you know, 38 weeks spread over even more than that. So yeah, it's, you know, if you make three picks a week, you're just starting to look to grind out these 2-1s every week, or 1-2s, and at least not go 0-3 and hurt yourself. But last year, up about 6 units on Premier League, 7 units the year before. And the year before that was a big one. It was up 16 units and hit a big Golden Boot future before the season. So it's been a good run the last 3 years here.
Yeah. Would you rather do that or go up, you know, 45 units on hard courts and drop 30 the other way on the other services?
Yeah. It was pretty much sounds, NBA season. Yeah.
This sounds much more calm and civil. All right, let's do it. We begin today. Do you have a play today?
Do not have a play today. It's Manchester United, Fulham. I don't really like either one of these teams from a season long standpoint. Like, I would take the under on both point totals if that's an option. I think Fulham could be in relegation danger. So if you want to get spicy and play like plus 500, plus 550 on them to be relegated, I don't hate it. And United still doesn't have a midfield, so that seems to be a problem as you're going into a season. So I don't really like anyone. I'm staying away from this game.
All right. So Paul's picks begin tomorrow, and he starts right in on the team that he has to win it all, starting with Arsenal.
Hey, let's go with the team I like to win the title, especially at that price. I'm going to take them to win 2-0 against Wolverhampton. Again, talk about this every year, but some books you have a win to nil or win to zero price. Some you can parlay a win and both teams to score no and get to the same end point. But win to nil against Wolverhampton. This one's fairly simple. You know, you obviously don't have this season numbers to work with, but we're looking at last year. They had the best defense in the league. They picked up a couple of defenders in the offseason. Ricardo Calafiori, Italian, who you might remember from Euros, has joined them. And they also have Urien Timber back from injury last year. So the defense should be at least as good. And Wolves is not good offensively. They're the fourth worst attack. They sold a couple of the best players. A couple others are hurt. A starter's out with a red card in the last game of last season. So this is, you know, this Arsenal 2-0 type of game that they grinded out a lot of last year. I expect more of the same to start tomorrow.
All right, Arsenal win to nil versus Wolverhampton. One of the great Chrissy Andrews story times for those who remember on the Beating the Book podcast. What is nil? I have one question. What is nil? It's a whole thing. It's a fantastic story.
I've always thought the Wolverhampton Wolves just feels a little lazy too.
Lazy.
Yeah. We got it.
That's a weird thing. Like the formal name is Wolverhampton Wanderers, but Wolves is like the abbreviation. So
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's not like the Wolves, like you would say, you know, the Pistons or whatever. It's an English thing. We dumb Americans don't understand.
We don't understand anything. All right, Arsenal win to nil tomorrow, and then Sunday you have a pair of games.
Yeah, I'm going to start with Brentford against Crystal Palace. I'm going down with a Brentford ship. You know, I had them in the top half. Their numbers last year, they drastically underachieved them, and they're kind of running back the same team for better or worse. So I like them at home against Crystal Palace on Sunday, plus 145 for the Brentford win. Palace is a popular sleeper team this year to get, you know, maybe make a run at the top six or something like that. But I'm not as convinced. They lost their best attacker. Michael Olise has gone to Bayern. They have several other players they might sell in the next couple weeks. So that's a distraction looming over the team. And Brentford has Ivan Toney, who looks like he's going to stay, although he wasn't great toward the end of last year when he came back from the gambling suspension. But they also have Brian Mbeumo back. He scored 7 goals in 15 games the first half of last year before he got hurt. So trust the continuity. Brentford win plus 145 against Palace.
All right, and then Man City also gets a play from you.
Yeah, a little bit of a, I don't know about an auto play, but Man City minus 120, that's about as, you know, good a price on a City win as you're going to get this season. They're at Chelsea on Sunday. City does not have Rodri, their midfielder, who kind of makes them tick, but Chelsea is such a mess. They signed like a whole team worth of players. They brought in a new coach. So we don't know what we're going to see from Chelsea. They probably have the widest range of outcomes of almost any team this season in the league. Okay. So I'm keeping this simple, taking the better team for a City win.
That's interesting about Chelsea. We're trying to come up with which NFL team has the widest range of outcomes. I can probably name a handful of them. Washington leaps to mind right off the top of my my dome, but Chelsea is who fits that bill for you. So here are the three plays from Paul Carr tomorrow. Arsenal win to nil versus the Wolverhampton Wolves. And then Sunday, Brentford to beat Crystal Palace, plus 145 is Paul's price. Always shop around. And Man City to beat Chelsea at Chelsea, minus 120. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it as always.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
The man moves the chains every year on the show doing Premier League. We appreciate it. At Paul Carr on Twitter. Kelly's futures plays in the NFL, his season longs, and first coach fired next on A Numbers Game.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, VSiN, VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. However you take it, it's in. We appreciate it. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten will join us from under a cloud of smoke with his baseball thoughts and bets. Chris Felica, the Bear, with his Premier League call. Calls of the week and college football thoughts as well. Heisman thoughts, perhaps. Or let's review what he had for the Heisman. Because didn't you and him like do a whole bunch of, like, you were joking yesterday, Ohio State backups at every position?
Yeah. I'm trying. Once again, if anybody has bet on anybody who's not the number, I don't know who the number one wideout is for Ohio State this year, but if you have a number two or number three wideout ticket for Ohio State, tweet it my way. We're trying to build a collection of backups on Ohio State to win the Heisman.
UFC 305 from Perth, Australia is upon us, and as always, to help us navigate and win some money betting on it, it's our buddy Jordan Sherwood joining us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, co-host of the Unnamed MMA Podcast at ESPN Chicago, at Wood on ESPN 1000 on the Twitter machine. What's happening, Jordan?
Everything is good, and always good to join you when we got a big-time fight card coming up tomorrow night from Perth, Australia. So it should be a good one.
Yeah, before we get that, you and Kelly have this conversation off-air because, Kelly, you're a Chicago guy. So Kelly wanted to ask about Eberflus, and you said, in terms of him getting fired, you said probably not.
Yeah, I think there's going to have to be a really like horrific season, like a 4-win season, 5-win season for him to be questioned on his seat as coach of the Bears. There's a lot of optimism, obviously, with Caleb Williams. There's belief. A lot of Bears fans believe playoffs are in the mix. I think they go 9-8. But if you're betting on Eberflus to lose his job, I think there's other candidates in the NFL that are likely to lose their job before he would.
I'm with you. I think it would have to be drastic. All right, let's talk UFC 305. Let's start with the main event, middleweight championship. Israel Adesanya, a minus 130, although we're showing minus 118 on the screen now. So this is getting tighter, against Dricus du Plessis, who is South African. And du Plessis is talking schmack here a little bit before the fight, which I love.
Yeah, there's animosity between these guys, and it's been building up for quite some time. You know, it's a battle of who's the true African. You got the South African and du Plessis. You've got, you know, Israel Adesanya, who was, you know, born in Nigeria. He did move, you know, away. And these guys expected to fight each other at one point. So interesting things about this fight. First and foremost, this is the longest time off that Adesanya's had in his combat sports career, not just his UFC mixed martial arts career, but his kickboxing as well. So you have to take into effect, you know, how is he going to bounce back off of the loss to Sean Strickland with the amount of time that he spent away? Is he right? Because he wasn't right mentally in that Strickland fight. So has he fully, you know, emotionally put himself back into a place where he could perform and become the middleweight champion of the world? He got really emotional earlier on in the week at the press conferences. So he is fully and emotionally invested in this fight. He does not like Dricus du Plessis. Some athletes step up and perform well. Others can't handle that. When you look at it stylistically, Gail, this is a fight that du Plessis, I think, has some advantages of. He's a pressure fighter. He throws with a lot of power, a lot of combinations. And twice before, in two of his last three fights, which have been losses for Adesanya, it's been against guys that will do that to him. So has Adesanya adjusted? Is he going to be able to take advantage of the openings that likely du Plessis will provide? Who's to say? I think it's going to be a fantastic fight. I'm leaning right now on du Plessis based on the stylistic matchup, where the odds are, and of course, just the time off. I just don't trust it for Adesanya that he's going to adapt and be able to do something that he hasn't done before.
This is a sort of strange question, but I'm trying to reflect the casual UFC observer. So not the UFC hardo, but someone who like came into UFC world during the pandemic, let's say, and is aware of, you know, at one point Adesanya was this feared name. Where does he rank? Like if you went through your entire I don't want to go through the entire UFC history, but like where does he rank in terms of
pound for pound power rankings?
Yeah, just pantheon of fighters. Is he even on that list?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if he's not the greatest striker we have ever seen, he's number two behind Anderson Silva.
Wow.
He has a chance to do something, Gil, that's only been done once before. Win a belt three times in the same weight class. Only Randy Couture did it. He's got a chance to become a three-time middleweight champion. And he, you know, again, a guy that was a kickboxer and came in and just completely ran through a division and beat tough guys, didn't beat cans, you know, didn't beat guys. I mean, the middleweight division, the guys that he went through at the time he went through them, like, were legit contenders. So absolutely. And if he does this again against a guy in du Plessis that's surging, he's undefeated in the UFC as du Plessis, it would be a fantastic showing for Adesanya to accomplish this.
Wow. But just to clarify, you lean du Plessis here.
I lean du Plessis. My likely play actually is going to be, I'm going to wait till fight night, and whoever is the underdog, whoever's got plus money on them, that's where I'm going to probably fire my bet. But I like du Plessis. I just think he's a little bit more mentally stable heading into this fight and prepared for it.
All right. Co-main is a flyweight bout between Steve Ursig and Kai Kara-France. Steve Ursig, with all the promise in the world to have a long career here, a bit of a challenge to get by Kara-France here, but you don't see it that way necessarily.
No, I don't. And look, you know me, you've talked to me several times. I don't like to have like locks of the night. You know, this is the bet, all the units on. I feel that way about Steve Ursig.
Wow.
I think Steve Ursig has showcased in his young career how special he is, extremely well-rounded. He took the fight on short notice against Pantoja, his last fight in a championship fight, and arguably won the fight. But it was in Brazil, so, you know, maybe you question the scorecards there. And Kai Kara-France is coming off two losses. He's coming off a year away from the octagon. He's coming off of an injury. I think Steve Ursig handles this fight wherever it goes. If it's on the feet, he'll avoid the power. and outstrike France if he wants to. He'll take this fight to the ground. France has struggled with grapplers before. He's been submitted before. And actually, if you don't like the money line Usyk, which I think is fine value at $1.75, I just saw $1.63 this morning, take him to win via submission. Kai Carr France has struggled with guys that go after his back. And I think Steve Usyk could look for that opening and that opportunity and look for a finish and get himself right back in the mix for a title shot.
Ooh, I like that. So Steve Usyk on the money line, minus 163, but via submission, about plus 550. That kind of thing. Ooh.
Yeah.
Can I interest
little
you
sprinkle.
In a
little sprinkle, Gil?
Can I interest you in a plus 550, Kelly?
You always can. Yes.
Yeah. A little sprinkle on that. All right. Right before the co-main and the main, then lightweight bout, Matoush Gamrot against Dan Hooker. Thank God there's a name you can pronounce easily. My God. This, by the way, was the hardest main card to pronounce, I think, in the history of UFC. Matoush Gamrot.
Oh, no, Gamrot. No. Come on. There have been worse, but you did fantastic with Gamrot. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done, Gil. You
Thank
are
you.
Evolving. You know, this is
That's right. Very false, man.
This is a great fight. I love it because Dan Hooker is always extremely exciting to watch. He's violent. You know, he's well-rounded, but you know, look, he's had a lot of wear and tear, in the wars that he's had. He's been finished in what, three of his last four losses. And he struggles with guys that just come after him and look to grapple and look to take them down. That's what Gamrot does. Gamrot likely is fighting for a championship very soon. He only has one loss in his UFC career. And it was a controversial decision. He has a victory over Armin Sarukian, who's been argued to be next in line for the lightweight championship of the world. So not only do I think Gamrot should be in your parlay, but I'm going to fade Hooker here on the finish and go for Gamrot inside the distance. Even though Gamrot is, you know, a point fighter, a control fighter with his grappling and his takedowns, I think he's going to hunt for a finish. And Hooker struggles with guys. It'll take him down. And I think Gamrot will look for the submission finish. But just to be safe, you go inside the distance to add a little bit more value, get plus money on Gamrot to do it.
Wow. Okay. Let's review the plays. Dricus du Plessis right now is the lean at the current price for Jordan. Steve Usyk, money line, but via submission with the sprinkle at plus 550. And then Matoush Gamrot inside the distance at about plus 330 we're seeing right now on that particular market for the lightweight bout. Again, those are in reverse order in terms of chronology. Those are the last three fights, obviously, of the night. I know you don't have any official plays beyond that, but is there any of all the other fights going down at UFC 305 in Australia? Is there what are you looking most forward to beyond those?
Oh, it's the fight before the Gamrot Hooker fight, and that's Tuivasa and Rosenstrike. I want to see a shoey. Every fan that's going to be there in attendance wants to see a shoey. That's in reference to Tai Tuivasa getting a knockout win and then drinking a beer out of a shoe. We want to see it. Stylistically, I like it. I like so the matchup for him against Rosenstrike, but it's a tough go. He's lost four fights in a row. Three of them he's been knocked out. He's in there against a guy that has a death touch in Biggie Boy Rosenstrike, but he's not going to have to worry about grappling. That is Tuivasa. So, you know, Tuivasa, you know, one more time for the fans. I'd love to see it. So not only is he plus 180 to win the fight, but if he's going to win the fight, he's going to win it via KO. And I think that's upwards of 3-1 odds. So that's the fight I'm looking forward to the most. That's the most exciting. So Tuivasa, Rosenstrike, someone's going to sleep, and hopefully it's Biggie Boy. I like the guy, but I want to see somebody drink a beer out of a shoe.
Truly, truly disgusting is what that is. Truly.
How much money would you need to drink just a bottle of Fiji water out of a shoe, Gil? If I started with $3,500.
Yeah, but did you have to define the parameters of the, I mean, is the shoe brand new?
Oh, no. This is my shoe that I'm wearing right now. Yeah.
I'm out. It's not happening. Jordan, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. Good luck with all the bets.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me.
UFC 305 from Perth, Australia. Remember the time zone issues, too, with that.
So I was just checking. So we're still on, like, regular UFC time. Man,
they do it for us.
Yeah, yeah. Australia is a little different because there's not really a perfect answer, right? Like, it would be like mid-afternoon for them.
Did you want to pronounce that heavyweight bout? All full names? Full name?
First. I got Rosenstrike. Like, I got that one, no problem. Tai Tuivasa?
I see you're avoiding Rosenstrike's first name, I see.
Yeah. No, I've never been able to. That's one you just go with the last name.
Okay.
It's Jorginho, I believe.
What's that?
It's Jorginho? Rosenstrike? I believe that's what it is.
Arsenio. Coming back with Chris Felica, Premier League and college football. That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Our 2024 VSiN College Football Betting Guide is your ultimate resource for the upcoming college football season, including previews of all 134 teams, a preseason top 25, power ratings, proven betting systems, and more. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Receive both the college football and NFL betting guide, plus full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, exclusive data like our betting splits as well. See all our subscription options at VSiN.com/subscribe and pick the plan that works best for you. That's VSIN/subscribe. Speaking of college football, it's Mr. College Football, the star of Big Noon Saturdays on Fox. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him as the Bear, El Oso, the host of the Bear Bets podcast. It's Christopher Felica. Chris, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, what's happening?
I'm a little concerned. Like, not that I don't mind being given that title in Mr. College Football, but I think the Futech might have a claim to that as well. So that guy cranks out more college football content than anyone.
He does.
But I appreciate that. I appreciate the cap tip.
You're very welcome. I want to get to, we're gonna do some tennis. We're going to do some Premier League. We're going to do some NFL. But let's start with college football. You have added another college football play, sir?
I've added a few college football plays. And I think these awards markets, I think you guys were talking about it earlier in the week, that have gotten posted this year.
Yeah.
I think the favorite bet that I've made now, all college football, all season, is Ryan Day to win the Bryan Award. These awards are so narrative-driven, and we think Ohio State is going to be really good. Remember, the narrative now is Ryan Day's lost to Michigan a few years in a row. He can't win the big game, which is total garbage. It's not true at all. And he's coaching for his job this year. They went heavy in the portal and NIL, brought in his buddy Chip Kelly to be the offensive coordinator. Had a great recruiting class. They go out and they beat Michigan and they wind up winning the Big Ten. He's 12-1 to win the Bryan Award. He's going to win the award.
Wow!
Like that's to me is you know, I'm used to say like, yeah, I just want to file like this bet away and have it at the end of the year. Like getting Ryan Day to win the Bryan at 12-1 and just having filed away come like the end of November. Like, oh wow, Ohio State's number one or number two in the country and they're undefeated and they just beat Michigan. Hey, look. They're 3.5-1 to win the title, and I got their coach at 12-1 to win the Bryan.
Who's got that, Chris?
DraftKings.
Okay. I've heard of them. Yep. You heard of them?
Yeah.
I've heard of them.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. DraftKings. Your
bosses. Depends on state, I guess. Depends on state.
Yes.
Oh, depends
correct.
On state.
Yeah.
State.
Correct.
State dependent
yes.
DraftKings.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. I'm in a bad state for DraftKings again.
Okay. You said
state doesn't allow me to.
I'm sorry. You said plural college football bets. What else you got?
Yeah. I played R.J. Harvey from UCF to win the Doak Walker at 50-1. I don't think Ollie Gordon is going to win the award for a second straight year, so immediately this is something I want to hop in. He wasn't even the guy at UCF to like game four, game five last year. Ran for over 1,400 yards. I think you add K.J. Jefferson into that offense that probably opens up some more opportunity and maybe some more holes for Harvey to have a big year. Now they're in the Big 12. So he's probably going to have some more eyeballs on him than he was in the American. But I think R.J. Harvey, 50-1, was a nice dart throw to potentially win the Doak Walker. And I added a bunch of team head-to-head bets.
Ooh.
In terms of wins. I played UCF to have more wins than SMU. I know SMU, I got that at plus 160. I know SMU is a team that is really highly regarded by a lot of people this year, but I wonder, they haven't recruited greatly. I mean, I know they've been in lesser conferences. And then the last 10 games that they played against the Power Four teams, they're 1-9. So maybe they'll go to the ACC and maybe they'll do well. But I like UCF more than I do SMU this year. So I got that plus 160. I played Iowa State more wins than Virginia Tech at plus 160. I think the Cyclones are headed for a 9-win season. We'll see if Virginia Tech can match them in the ACC. I played Syracuse minus 105 to have more wins than Wisconsin. And I like this because I had bet Syracuse over 6.5 a few months back. And now that number has moved. And see, I can't recommend playing them at over 7 or over 7.5, whatever the number is now. But I did look and I did find this similarly priced team with Wisconsin. I believe that was at DraftKings as well. You look at Syracuse, Kyle McCord, Ohio State's quarterback last year, comes in. Gadsden, the tight end, is back after missing almost all of last year. I think the Fran Brown coaching move is a plus. You look at Wisconsin, I think they're hard-pressed to win 7, and definitely not 8 games this year. You got USC, Rutgers, Iowa, Nebraska on the road, and you still have to play Alabama, Penn State, and Oregon. Like, what Tyler Van Dyke, are we going to see a quarterback for the Badgers this year, the one that showed so much promise as a freshman in Miami, or the one that got benched last year? So Syracuse more wins in Wisconsin was another season head-to-head that I like.
Wow. Okay, let's review. Head-to-heads, UCF over SMU at plus 160, Iowa State over Va Tech at plus 160, Syracuse minus 105 over Wisconsin, RJ Harvey from UCF to win the Doak Walker, and then Ryan Day to win the Bryan Award at 12-1, named, Kelly, of course, after the great UNC Philadelphia Stars Washington Redskins running back Kelvin Bryant. I'm being told that is incorrect. I'm being told that's after Bear Bryant. I'm sorry. Okay. Premier League, what do you got?
I did not do a ton in the Premier League this offseason just because I was so tied up with Copa and Euros, and I really kind of fell behind in who's going where. And the other thing is, I don't feel like tying up so much money for almost 10 months in this market when I'm playing. Like, I think Man City is still the team to beat. I know everybody is high on Arsenal, but do I really want to tie money up for 9-10 months and pick a team that's plus 145 or 150 or so to win the league? Like, people are counting on, like, there are very, very few more dangerous things in sports than, like, counting on Arsenal to, like, come through and be good and deliver on expectations. Like, that's like buyer beware right there, sirens going off. So I'd be careful with that, but I do think you might just want to monitor this because Man City is going to – Rodri isn't going to play early in the year. Foden isn't going to play early in the year. They got a bunch of guys that they're kind of – Kyle Walker, that because they played so much in Euros, they're kind of holding him down, back a little bit. So maybe if City maybe draw a couple of early matches, maybe they fall behind, maybe they drop some points. That might be an opportunity to get City at a little better price, just kind of like what happened last year where they were a much better price mid-season than they were early in the year, and then they closed like a freight train and wind up winning. There was one head-to-head that I did like team totals. I did play Brentford more points than Fulham, the two London rivals there that recently promoted a couple years back. Brentford, I think, getting Tony back will be a big deal, and I'm not sure that Fulham are better than them. So I'd play Brentford head-to-head higher position in the table than Fulham.
All right, Brentford over Fulham in the head-to-head. All right, tennis. Give me 45 seconds on tennis. What do you got?
I know you and J-Rod are going to be mad at me.
Oh, no.
But I played Paula Badosa 50-1 to win the U.S. Open. I played Mira Andreeva 26-1 to win the U.S. Open. I think the four players at the top, Iga, Coco, Rybakina, Sabalenka, all have issues right now. And I know your love for Iga. You go back and look. Major Grand Slam events outside of the French Open, she's been in 16 of them. Three quarterfinals. The one win in the U.S. Open a couple years back, and 7 first-week losses. Like, there is money to be made in these markets, like betting against Iga to either win a quarter or reach the semi or even win the event. Like, I don't know if we're going to get a Leila Fernandez, Emma Raducanu, like a qualifier-type final here, but maybe we get like a Jasmine Paolini, Barbora Krejcikova final like we got at Wimbledon as well, where a couple of accomplished players are looking for a slam, but I'd be looking to fade all four of these top players in Flushing Meadows in a couple weeks.
Well, you stole my thunder because we were going to talk about this later, and I like your two picks. I like Mira Andreeva, and I like Paula Badosa, and I think it is a wide-open U.S. Open, and this will be the one where Iga will win because we feel it's wide open. That's what's going to happen.
But that's okay because they do have over 1.5 slams from earlier in the year.
That's right, and she has won a U.S. Open before. But yes, it feels, again, I said earlier on the show, those top four ladies, Sabalenka, Swiatek, Goff, Rybakina, so many question marks above the shoulders, you know, that's the thing, not physically, but above the shoulder. Although with Coco, there is a forehand problem for sure. All right. NFL, oh, yeah. NFL to close.
I bet Trevor, Kelly, I heard you earlier talking like negative about the Jaguars. What's your buddy from Duval going to think about that? Who you had on a couple of years ago?
The incident.
I can't believe you went against your buddy. I'm gonna pick him up though here. I bet Trevor Lawrence to lead the NFL in passing yards at 25-1. This is a guy who threw for over 4,000 yards last year, despite missing a game, despite playing parts of other games with an injury. Like, this is a big year. I mean, the jury is out. Everyone kind of thinks he's maybe not the generational type quarterback that people thought they were getting when they drafted him number one. You draft Brian Thomas Jr., I think, is a big threat. You bring in Gabe Davis, that wide receiver unit they had last year, dropped a lot of balls, and they're now gone outside of Christian Kirk. Travis Etienne catches a lot of balls out of the backfield. And if you look outside of a trip to Tennessee in week 14, they don't play a game outside of Florida or a dome from week 10 on. So you're not going to run into late season bad weather situation. He's going to have a fair, clean track. But I thought Lawrence 25-1 was worth a shot to lead the league in passing yards.
You two should fight. You two should fight about it.
Yeah, fisticuffs.
He can lead the league in passing yards while they finish 8-9.
By the way, that
while they go 7-10, right?
Exactly.
that interview that Felica is referring to back in the day, that was the only time Kelly was ever truly mad at me when I referred to it as the incident. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Jason Weingarten. You too. Jason Weingarten next.